Blog Talk Radio.
We don't play, we take it to the house. M.I.A. take it to the house. It's the way we take it to the house. Take it to the house, take it to the house. 305, take it to the house. We got that vibe, take it to the house. Slip inside, take it to the house.
Take it to the house,
take it to the house.
House, good evening. Welcome to another episode of the Monday Morning Hangover Fantasy Football Podcast, brought to you by backsportspage.com. This is Mo, and I'm coming to you live with my co-host, T. But, unfortunately, Cons cannot be here with us. It is the day of his birth. Just want to wish Cons a very happy birthday, and I'm 100% sure the show is going to be better off without him being here. So, we made another week, another episode. Time for us to cover the deepest position, by far, in this fantasy this season, the wide receivers. Since the position is a little too long to cover within one show, what we're going to do is we're going to handle the just NFC receiving cores as a whole, going over tight ends as well from each NFC team. NFC teams only, okay? So that's just NFC. Sorry, Broncos and Jets fans. But wide receivers is the position which relies the most on other players on the field, especially quarterbacks. So therefore, it'll just be easier to summarize the whole passing offense at once. So we'll break down NFC receiving tandems. And while we're doing so, we encourage you to call in. We'd love to hear from you. We'll be taking calls at 760-283-0846. Again, that's 760-283-0846, or you can inbox us on Facebook. All right, so let's get started. The biggest news of the week and of the season so far, Percy Harvin getting injured, Jeremy Maclin and Dennis Pitta shortly following. Percy Harvin has a hip injury. He did have surgery today. At earliest, it looks like he's going to be back week 12, which is Seattle's bye week, so we can't expect him back till week 13. Jeremy Maclin tore his ACL in a non-contact drill in practice. Obviously not good for Philadelphia, especially with what just happened with a new starting receiver, Riley Cooper, who comes to the forefront. And Dennis Pitta also out for the year for Baltimore, who was a big part of their Super Bowl run last season.
Yeah, Percy Harvin went into surgery today. They didn't know how serious the injury was until they actually went into his hip. They said that they went in and there was, you know, as little complications as possible. So they do expect him to be back right around Thanksgiving. The only bad thing is week 12 of Seattle's bye week and week 13, they have a Monday night game. So I don't think you're really going to sit there and wait till Monday night to see if he's going to play for the first time that season. So you're really looking at week 14 as far as fantasy goes for Percy Harvin.
Yeah, and at that point, even if he comes back, you don't know what form he's going to be in. He's not draftable right now. Obviously, Maclin and Pitta, they're just not coming back at all. Knocked down Russell Wilson a touch. Knocked down anyone in Philly's offense, especially the quarterbacks a bit. And Pitta, he could be replaced by Ed Dixon. Not a huge deal. Next storyline, it looks like this just started today. It looks like the Giants have listed David Wilson and Andre Brown as co-starters. We kind of knew this going into it. We actually touched up on this in the running back podcast. You know, Brown might be more of a goal line back. They're going to try to get Wilson as much as they can. Last year, he led the entire league in yards per touches on the ball. Well, we'll see. Tom Coughlin likes to go with the veteran running back. I wouldn't be surprised to see a timeshare here, even though David Wilson is going way ahead of Andre Brown in draft spot.
Yeah, I think the Giants might implore, you know, give it to the hot hand kind of thing, where if one of them is running the ball well, you're going to see them get a majority of the touches for that drive or game, whatever it be. David Wilson actually led the league in fantasy points per touch last year, too. So, you know, that's something to think about. You know, the Giants want David Wilson to win the job. They spent a first-round pick on him. He has a much higher potential than Andre Brown. But Andre Brown is just much more trustworthy and steady right now. So I think they're going to go give them both first-team reps and, you know, see how it unfolds. It's just worth keeping an eye on. You know, one of them might distinguish themselves by the time the season starts and emerge as a starter. But either way, even if one does distinguish themselves, I would think that you're going to see, you know, some sort of split in carries, and I don't think any one of them is going to get, you know, 85-90% of the carries.
All right. Well, let's move on to the topic of the show. You know, we did say that wide receiver is the deepest position, which is absolutely the case. But with these NFC receivers going down this week, you know, it might bump these players up in their average draft position a little bit. Let's start first with the Dallas Cowboys. You know, great wide receiving core. we all know what they have. Dez Bryant, the young, possibly troubled wide receiver, but you know, uber talented. He's last year we saw him in kind of a breakout year. He's had some injuries. He's just in a great situation. His 3-year average: 67 receptions, 789 yards, 9 touchdowns. Doesn't jump off the page, but we know he's up and coming. He had a great second half. As long as Romo can stay healthy, and if DeMarco Murray stays healthy, I like what he could do, especially opposite Miles Austin, Jason Witten. This is just an extremely talented core.
Yeah, they have a ton of natural talent here, and let's not forget that Dallas throws the ball, I think, the third or fourth most times per game in football. As far as Dez Bryant goes, I'm not as high on him as you are. He's only been an elite wide receiver for about 10 games. You know, he has all the natural talent in the world, but who knows how mature he is. You know, he got charged with battery against his mother last year. I think he punched his mother in the face or slapped her in the face.
It has nothing to do with on-field performance. But I'm only drafting him for what he can do on my fantasy football team.
Miles Austin, another guy with a lot of talent, and you know, he's getting older and he's injured a lot. But you know, if he can stay healthy, he's a good guy to own.
Listen, Austin's going to play in the slot. He's going to be a good PPR guy. Like you said, it's just a matter of him staying healthy. He's a sleeper candidate. He's going really late, I think, like 10th, 11th round in his average draft position.
He's going mid 9th round to 10th round as of right now. And that's only because of injury concerns. If you could tell me Miles Austin would play all 16 games, he'd be easily a 5th-round pick. But speaking of PPR guys, Jason Witten might be, the most reliable PPR target in fantasy sports. He had 94 catches last year. He averaged 94 catches over the last 3 years, and he actually broke the tight end receiving record last year with 110 catches.
All right, and don't forget he's the most targeted tight end in the league. There's a lot to be said for that.
Yeah, he's just, don't expect a big play. His kind of big game is going to be, 12 catches. I think, what did he have last year against the Giants? What, like 17 or 18 catches or something like that? He's not going to go out and get 3 touchdowns, but he's just going to be a steady fantasy performer and just rack up the catches.
All right, it's no threat at all that the Cowboys drafted Gavin Escobar, the rookie tight end from San Diego State. Draft Witten with confidence. I have him as either the third or fourth tight end. He's going to fall in the same spot that he has been for the past 5 or 6 years.
A sleeper to look out for in the Cowboys is the rookie out of Baylor, Terrence Williams. Tony Romo, they run a lot of 3 wide receiver sets. Kevin Ogletree got off to the huge start last year, but eventually faded. And I think I'm not sure if it was 2 or 3 years ago, but Lauren Robinson, who's actually out of a job right now, had 11 touchdowns playing that third wide receiver spot. Mm-hmm. And as we've already said, Miles Austin is injury prone. So Terrence Williams, while I wouldn't say he's draftable right now, could definitely be a nice little waiver pickup.
A nice person to keep an eye on. Let's move on in the division. We have from the Washington Redskins, not much to talk about here, Pierre Garçon, as our friend likes to call him, Pierre Garçon.
Garçon.
He's the only player who's draftable on this receiving core. Trey Davis was high up the tight end ranks last year, got hurt, didn't really pan out, and wasn't on pace for much even before that. Garçon had a few injuries last year. He hurt his foot. He said he's moved on from that. And at a current ADP of the 6th round, he could be a steal for RG3 as a deep threat, and RG3 throws a great deep ball. But we'll see. I don't trust this guy to stay healthy, and I would avoid this situation as much as possible. We did touch up on the Philadelphia Eagles earlier before with Macklin being out. I don't know if that helps the production for DeSean Jackson and maybe possibly the rest of the receivers.
I don't think it could possibly hurt. I mean, I feel like a broken record because we said it when we were talking about the quarterbacks and the running backs, but we don't know what Chip Kelly is going to bring from college to the NFL. But what we do know from his offenses in Oregon is that he just wants to get the guys that can make plays, the ball, as much as possible in space. And that's why I love LeSean McCoy this year, and that's actually why I like DeSean Jackson this year. Whether it's passing the ball, returning kicks or punts, running the ball, screens, whatever. Especially with Macklin down now, I expect to see a heavier dose of DeSean Jackson as long as his body can hold up.
Right. And, I mean, I would avoid their tight ends. They do have Zach Ertz. They drafted the rookie tight end from Stanford. Brent Celek almost got cut this year, actually. Riley Cooper is pretty talented. Who knows if he's going to be as good after he has to take mandatory anger management classes after his, you know, his little episode earlier in the week. But he might be a nice late round pick as a wide receiver too. They obviously think pretty highly of him to not cut him after the current situation.
I will say this about the Eagles, though. I have more faith in one of the tight ends distinguishing themselves as the number two target in that offense than Riley Cooper or Jason Avant or whoever. Let's not forget, you know, Chip Kelly did coach against Zach Ertz. He knows what he can do, and he drafted him in the second round for a reason. I'm not saying, you know, they're not – I'm not saying one of them's going to break out and be a star this year. All I'm saying is that it wouldn't surprise me if Ertz or James Casey becomes a better fantasy option than Riley Cooper.
And Ertz is just strictly a receiving tight end. Let's face it, that's what they got him for. So let's move on to New York Giants. You know, we all know they have the terrific duo of Victor Cruz and Akeem Nicks. Victor Cruz, who just signed his new contract this offseason and already complained about it practically a few days later. You know, Cruz has... Well, apparently his contract's not exactly fair either, but still. Last year, his target's 143, which is, you know, certainly up there. He's a PPR dominant player, very consistent as of the past 2 years. I think he relies a little bit too much on the big play. He showed last year that he wasn't a one-year wonder. We'll see. Reuben Randall has been coming of age. Maybe he'll take some targets away from Cruz. And then, of course, there's always Akeem Nicks, who I think is a top five talent in the league if he could ever stay healthy.
Yeah, I mean, Cruz has his biggest games when Nicks is hurt. I mean, I know he had the one huge game. Actually, they both had the one huge game against Tampa last year, but Tampa also had the worst pass defense in the league. But, you know, we don't really know what Cruz can do with Nicks in the lineup all the time. You know, I think Cruz is safe. I think he's Eli's security blanket, especially with a new tight end coming in. You know, you could basically lock him in for 80 catches, 1,000 yards, and 8 touchdowns. But the real interesting person on the Giants for me is Akeem Nicks. You know, it feels like he's been in the league forever, but he's only 25 years old. Yeah, he's been injury prone, but it's little no pun intended, Nicks. You know, it's a groin here, a foot there. His nickname's actually Nicked Up Nicks, but I mean, he's going as the number 20 wide receiver right now, which to me, I mean, Mike Wallace is going ahead of him. To me, that's ridiculous. I think, you know, like you said, he's a top 5-7 talent in the league when he's healthy. And
the thing is, I mean, like, he's still only 25, but you know, the problem it is the injuries. He's already sat out of practice a few times in the past week. Coughlin's been a little frustrated, but you know, it is Nick's contract year. Maybe they're just trying to get him through the season, and you know, he wants to hit it big off it.
One to watch for is Reuben Randall. He's been tearing up Giants camp so far.
Right. And speaking of young receivers, we move on to St. Louis Rams, and we have Tavon Austin, the highly heralded rookie out of West Virginia, who, of course, the Rams traded up for to take 8th overall. Just amazing speed, amazing quickness. What was the number? 35% of his yardage in college were from catches behind the line of scrimmage. So this guy really makes things happen when they put the ball in his hands, which is why they're going to also try to get him to return punts. This offense is going to be looking to spread the ball around. They do have a ton of receivers who could possibly break through. They're all guys who I wouldn't necessarily take a chance on, but Tavon Austin is the guy you want in this receiving core, at least out of the wide receivers. Not a big end zone threat, so he'll be more of a threat in yardage leagues. But,
yeah, I'm a little skeptical about rookie wide receivers. You know, even guys like Julio Jones and AJ Green. Yeah, they were fantasy relevant as rookies, but they weren't, you know, the top wide receivers they are, even in their second year. So, you know, draft Austin with caution. I think he's getting drafted a little ahead. You know, he's a 7th-round draft pick right now. You know, he's going ahead of guys like, you know, Ryan Broyles, Justin Blackmon,
Greg Jennings, Stevie Johnson, who's, you know, averaged over 1,000 yards. It's like I said, rookie wide receivers aren't the most consistent, and he doesn't have the best of quarterbacks either. Sam Bradford hasn't shown us much. They think this may be a make-or-break year for him. And they also got him a little more help in tight end Jared Cook, you know, who's supposedly having a huge camp. who said himself just the Titans offense didn't fit him, and I feel like he's been a sleeper at tight end for the past, you know, 4 or 5 years. He's just an athletic freak who just never made it happen. Signed a big contract, just a great athlete, great potential. And I think if they, well, they're spreading the ball around, I think he seems to be the biggest red zone threat they have. The rest of the receivers are small, quick. You know, they have with Brian Quick, Austin Pettis, Chris Gibbons, guys like
yeah.
that.
They're lining up Cook in the slot a lot in camp, and they're saying he's essentially replacing Danny Amendola. So he has 72 targets last year. I expect that to, you know, to go up into the triple digits above 100. I really love Jared Cook this year. You know, if Jeff Fisher can make Frank Wycheck a good tight end, I think he can do something with Jared
Cook. And we'll touch up on it later. But Jared Cook falls into the same category as about 15 other tight ends right now, where I believe if you don't get the first tight end of the draft, then I want to be the guy to take the last tight end of the draft too. And all these guys are draft eligible. So the San Francisco 49ers, and Michael Crabtree, most likely out for the year. He might be able to come back for the real life playoffs, which isn't going to help us. But the good thing they did get Anquan Boldin in order to take his place. Boldin has fallen off in fantasy leagues a little bit in recent years. That might be a product of the system he was in Baltimore, more of a running offense. He hasn't gotten many targets, only 112 last year. But he should be a nice veteran presence for Kaepernick, who, you know, when Kaepernick took over, look what Crabtree did. Crabtree turned into a top 15 fantasy wide receiver. So we can only assume that, or we can only hope that Anquan Boldin would take his place and, you know, take on the same role.
Yeah, I mean, I think I can honestly say that I'm in 3 or 4 leagues right now, and I can honestly say I don't think I'm going to own anybody on the 49ers receiving core in any of my leagues. Boldin, you know, he's solid, but, you know, there's absolutely no upside there. You know, even in PPR leagues, he only averaged 62 catches a year for the past 3 years. I mean, you know,
he could just be a – I like him as a nice wide receiver 3, maybe flex spot.
Yeah, I wouldn't even consider him for my flex. I mean, if you want to say, you know, you stash him on the bench and you can bring him in when somebody's on a bye because you know he's not going to put up a zero, that's fine, but – I just, you know, I don't even know if he's getting an upgrade at quarterback. You know, fantasy wise, Kaepernick's better than Flacco, but Flacco and Boldin had a nice little repertoire going there. And Vernon Davis, you know, I don't get all the hype about either. I mean, I don't know how you feel about Davis.
Like I said, I'm not drafting a tight end until he's the last one taken.
Yeah.
We all know everyone's going to reach on Vernon Davis like they do every single year,
right,
ever since they saw him performed in the Under Armour commercial, and he looked rather impressive.
I mean, you know, it's been 3 or 4 years removed from his 13-touchdown season, and here's a scary stat. He averaged 21 yards per game with Kaepernick at starts.
Right. They obviously just don't have the same connection that he had with – that Davis had with Alex Smith. Alex Smith liked to throw to him as more of a, you know, security blanket, and Kaepernick is more of a high-risk, high-reward risk-taker. So – like I said, I'm not taking either one of these guys. I don't even want to give Davis the credit of talking about him for this long. So let's move on to, you know, much more relevant team, or much more relevant wide receiving core. The Arizona Cardinals with Larry Fitzgerald. Where did Larry Fitzgerald go? He's disappeared in the past 2 years. And we all know we hope it's a matter of quarterback play, because this guy was just absolutely outstanding, especially with Kurt Warner as his quarterback, the Super Bowl run they had. Even his three-year averages have been good. 80 catches, 1,100 yards, 6 touchdowns, and still 156 targets. But it's more of just Ryan Lindley and Kevin Cobb and whoever else they threw in there, John Terry, just throwing the ball up to Larry Fitzgerald and just hoping he makes a play, because they really couldn't do much else. Their offensive line is shady at best. But now I really like what Fitzgerald can do, and I throw him up into easily my top 10 with Carson Palmer as his quarterback. We all know he's going to get much improved play at there. They did sign Rashard Mendenhall, going to open up the running game. They tried to improve their offensive line. Just all signs are pointing up for Larry Fitzgerald.
Yeah, I mean, I confidently have him as my number 6 wide receiver, and I love Larry Fitzgerald. You know, his for those of you that don't know his reception percentage, was under 50% last year, which is unheard of for a top wide receiver. Basically, he caught less than 50% of the ball.
That's the result of being double teamed the entire time.
And
they had
having Ryan Lindley start four games at quarterback.
Right.
I mean, I just, you know, he's got a much better quarterback situation. His coach's offense suits him much better. I think Fitzgerald is going to have a top year. I mean, last year was the first time in his career, besides his rookie year, that he wasn't a top five fantasy wide receiver. And it'll be his 10th year, which means 8 years in a row he's a top five fantasy wide receiver.
And he's been drafted as the 10th overall wide receiver, give or take a few spots, right before Randall Cobb.
Who's going ahead of him right now?
And would you rather have Vincent Jackson, Andre Johnson?
I'd rather have Fitz over both of them.
Exactly. It's just a great value, like we said. I mean, he's the only guy who can rival Calvin Johnson as the top, most talented wide receiver in the league, and that's just tough to pass on at this spot. Opposite him on the field, we do have Michael Floyd, who should see hopefully single coverage when Larry Fitzgerald comes back to form. Michael Floyd at Notre Dame, high draft pick. Should see single coverage, like I said, better quarterback play. Vertical passing system should help them. They don't have much else. Andre Roberts is their slot wide receiver. Rob Hausler, their tight end, having a good camp, and it's just a phenomenal athlete. Like I said, all these guys, I wouldn't be surprised if they become viable just because of Carson Palmer. We talked about this in the beginning. There's no position that relies more on other positions than wide receiver. You put a good quarterback in there, and these guys, you can turn, as we said before, Frank Wycheck into fantasy relevant. So,
yeah, I just want to say too, Palmer's known to take a lot of chances too. So, while it doesn't help his fantasy value, he's going to throw the ball up, especially to Fitzgerald or Floyd, even if it doesn't benefit the Cardinals, because he's going to throw a lot of picks. These wide receivers are going to make some plays on balls that they shouldn't. So, I think everybody on the Cardinals is trending up this year.
All right. A team that's trending upward, the Seattle Seahawks. It looks like they were the favorite, or one of the favorites to win the Super Bowl before Percy Harvin went down. We don't know how much that hurts their chances, but we touched on it before. It's a huge knock to them. They traded a lot away in order to sign this guy and then spent a lot of money on him. So it wasn't just a free agency signing. He was one of the most versatile players in the league, one of the highest scoring points per game fantasy players. Like I said, it knocks down Russell Wilson a little bit, but what it does do is knock up the prospects of Sidney Rice, Golden Tate, and their tight end Zach Miller just a little bit. Sidney Rice is in Switzerland right now receiving treatment on his knee, whatever that's supposed to mean. Possibly seeing the same doctor that Kobe Bryant saw over there. He's very injury prone, but he is their top receiving threat. And then we have Golden Tate, who improved a little bit. As we can never say it enough that you go from having a bad quarterback to Russell Wilson, and it turns you into a decent wide receiver.
Yeah, so, I mean, if I'm going to own one of them, I would go with Golden Tate just because he's more durable. He's a third wide receiver on a team with two injury prone wide receivers. You think losing Harvin knocks down Wilson?
Yeah, a little bit. Look at Christian Ponder was startable in some games last year, and he's on the verge of losing his job there to Matt Castle of all people.
When they installed the new offense last year, Russell Wilson was a top four fantasy quarterback without Harvin.
Right.
I mean, you might be right. It might knock him down a little bit, but
that was only. I mean, that was his rookie. Which helps him as his rookie year, but it was only a short sample. I wouldn't go with either one of these guys. Maybe you could draft them later on. Hopefully they sign someone. There's still a lot of good free agents out there, Lauren Robinson, Brandon Lloyd. I wouldn't be surprised if they took a chance with one of these guys hopefully to fill the void until Percy Harvin came back. But, stay away from these guys if you can unless you're desperate. Let's move on to the Carolina Panthers, actually an up-and-coming team. They do have the 34-year-old Steve Smith, who's known for his inconsistency from year to year. He's been pretty good with PPR. He got 138 targets last year,
the only true wide receiver threat on the team for Cam Newton. Newton's been great, especially fantasy-wise, but in real life, you know, he's lacking in accuracy. I do like Steve Smith. You know, where's he going right now? I don't know if he's like, at the 22nd overall. I'd rather have, you know, around guys like Dwayne Bowe, Eric Decker, Keen Nick, Antonio Brown. I like all those guys better than Steve Smith, but you can't argue with what he's done over the past few years.
What I like about Steve Smith is at the end of the year, you know, especially with Newton. I mean, he had that one down year the year before they drafted Newton, but it looks like he's a little rejuvenated after, you know, they drafted Cam. But at the end of the year, you know what Steve Smith's numbers are going to be. But the problem is game to game. You know, he had 5 100-yard games last year, but 8 games under 65 yards. And, you know, he doesn't really get in the end zone a ton, so if he's not getting you yards consistently, he's going to put up a lot of games, you know, with single-digit points, you know, 3-4 points. You know, Carolina should be playing from behind, so they should be throwing the ball a ton. But, you know, Steve Smith is, to me, a low-end wide receiver 2, high-end wide receiver 3.
Right, and like you said, it's all about consistency. Especially lined up to his partner on the opposite end of the field, Brandon LaFell, might be one of the more inconsistent players. He's shown signs of, you know, just having great potential, and then in the next game he'll just catch zero balls. We don't know what to make of him. He was a sleeper last year. I guess we're going to put him in the same spot this year. Try to stay away from him if you can. Hopefully, he should face minimal coverage if Steve Smith has the year that he's capable of. But it is a contract year for Brandon LaFell.
Yeah, I mean, I don't really like LaFell. You put an inconsistent wide receiver in with an inconsistent quarterback while throwing the ball, and, I don't like that.
He might be the number 2 wide receiver, but we know he's not going to be the number 2 option in this offense. You know, we have Wayne Hill's product, Greg Olsen, who actually, you know, came into his own last year. He became a low-end tight end 1 by the end of the season. You know, 104 targets, had a decent amount of touchdowns. He's actually, you know, he's sixth among tight ends in fantasy points and fifth in targets. So you can't argue with that. If he's getting the chances, you know, he's absolutely going to, you know, be productive in that offense. So they did sign guys like Dominic Hickson, Ted Ginn.
I wouldn't be afraid of any of those guys stealing targets. I mean, and I swear this is not a bias because I happen to go to school with Greg, but I actually have him as my, now that Dennis Pitta has gone down, I actually have him as my 5th-ranked tight end, you know, which it sounds crazy because he might not be the biggest name out there, but as you just see, he was 6th in fantasy tight end scoring last year. So, you know, it's really not that far out there. You know, he saw 21.2% of Carolina's targets last year, which ranked him 2nd in the league for percentage of targets. Just behind Jimmy Graham. So, you know, he's going to get the looks. The only thing which is kind of weird is he's not a huge red zone threat. A lot of his touchdowns are from 20 yards or more just because Carolina pounds the ball in the red zone. So, you know, he's going to get his points and catches and yards and not really touchdowns.
All right. Let's move on. We have the Tampa Bay Bucks next. And, you know, another top 10 receiver, Vincent Jackson. Not a huge PPR guy. He's great in the red zone, you know, big target. He's thrown they threw him 147 times last year, and they want him to get the ball even more than that. He's been lining up in the slot. They want to increase his versatility just to, you know, he's a matchup problem when it comes, you know, he's going to be going against the nickel cornerback, and he just can't cover someone of that size and speed. They might be running, Tampa might run the ball more with Doug Martin. You know, their offensive line is improved. But you know, Vincent Jackson's become one of the more consistent, you know, besides from 2 years ago when he pretty much sat out the whole year with a contract dispute. But talent-wise, there's just no arguing with this guy.
Yeah, I'm wondering how lining him up in the slot, too, is going to, you know, affect his PPR rating. You know, you got to figure if they're lining him up in the slot, he's going to see more targets, more short targets. You know, his catches might go up.
That can only make him a little bit better.
Right.
You know, Vincent Jackson did the contract dispute. On the other hand, Mike Williams got paid this offseason. They did sign to a contract extension through 2018. Another big red zone threat. This Josh Freeman must be licking his chops. He has two huge wide receivers in order to you know, to throw the ball up to. And now, of course, Doug Martin out of the backfield as well. You know, Mike Williams never missed a game in his career. He's a nice wide receiver three, nothing more, nothing less. He's just consistent, which says a lot because they don't have much consistency behind him with guys like Kevin Ogletree, Tyquan Underwood. You know, they're a big fighting for the third spot.
Yeah, now, do you think he's licking his chops when he looks over and Tyquan Underwood's his third wide receiver?
Yeah, I know. I think that's possibly why they're trying to put Vincent Jackson in the slot. I think they'd rather have him fill up two wide receiver spots instead of putting Tyquan Underwood on the field.
Right.
Whatever. You know, Tyquan Underwood was about 2 days away from making a Super Bowl caliber team before he got cut, so you never know.
Yeah, he saw a lot of playing time on that team, too.
Maybe they would have won if he was on the field. That's the way I see it. Let's move on to the Atlanta Falcons. This is a scary wide receiver core, unless you're an Atlanta Falcons fan. Julio Jones, you know, just he's only been in the league for 2 years. Two-year average, 67 catches, 1,200 yards, 9 touchdowns. The guy just took off from his rookie year. We know he's a huge deep threat. He's only getting better. His targets have skyrocketed from 94 to 128. We just think it's going to keep going up. He just keeps getting better and stronger. And Roddy White, you know, might get a little bit older. So you think Julio Jones is going to take most of the production in this offense? I mean, he was quiet in the second half of last year. But, you know, I have to like his chances a little bit better than Roddy White. They're both going as top 10 wide receivers.
I mean, the only thing is Julio Jones has all the potential in the world. You know, if you told me right now that Julio Jones is going to be the top scoring wide receiver in the league, I wouldn't be shocked. Roddy White's the more, you know, consistent one. He has 6 catches in at least 9 games last year, and he had 7 games with 100 yards, which is remarkable consistency. The only thing about these guys is that they very rarely both have big games together. So, you know, you know, Julio Jones can be doing nothing wrong, but, you know, Roddy White shit's hot that day, and Matt Ryan's, you know, looking for Roddy White all day. So, you know, that scares me a little bit, but I think that this is the year. You know, Julio had the better year fantasy-wise last year, but I think this is the year that Julio really becomes the true number one target.
I mean, Roddy White has more targets. That just talks about their, you know, the type of receivers that they are. White with 143 targets last year. Hasn't missed a game in 8 seasons and has topped 1,000 yards in 6 straight, at least 7 touchdowns in 5 straight. That's just a model of consistency. I still think he's going to put up the same type of season. Julio Jones is more of the big play, touchdown guy. Draft both with confidence. The team loves to throw the ball. They still do have Tony Gonzalez, only for one more season. He already said this is going to definitely be his last season. Tony Gonzalez is what he is, you know. He averages about 80 catches, 800 to 900 yards, you know, 6 to 8 touchdowns. That's just what he does. Never gets hurt.
The only thing that scares me about Tony Gonzalez is that, you know, he had the most red zone touchdowns from out of any tight end in the league last year, and they upgraded at running back. So, I mean, it's plausible to think that Steven Jackson could take a couple touchdowns away from Tony Gonzalez, but, you know, he still should be a solid contributor, you know, draft him at tight end.
Very likely. But, you know, when all is said and done, this might be the most fantasy relevant offense, you know, especially in the NFC, possibly in the entire league. Let's move on to another, you know, huge scoring fantasy offense, New Orleans Saints. Marcus Colston, you know, just like we spoke about with Tony Gonzalez, just extremely consistent. He's actually finished at the 11th rated wide receiver for 2 years in a row now. A little injury prone. He's already had 5 knee surgeries. But, you know, he's the number one wide receiver and one of the most pass-happy offenses in the league. And we know he has Drew Brees as his quarterback. The yards are going to come. They get Sean Payton back. It's just he is what he is. He's a top 15 wide receiver year after year, and usually gets drafted outside that spot.
Yeah, and, you know, like you know what you're getting from Colston. You know, he's had 70 catches, 1,000 yards, and 7 touchdowns in every year since 2009, which, you know, so like I said, you can draft him, you know, plug him into your lineup every week, and, you know, the Saints throw the ball so much, you know you're going to get this consistent production from him.
Mm-hmm.
No, I was just saying, a guy that I actually like this year a lot is Lance Moore. the Saints lost a couple of receivers like Devery Henderson. Moore's going at the end of the 10th round. So, you know, he actually had 1,000 yards last year. He's the one big play guy that the Saints have. Colston is more of a possession guy. And he had 4 games of over 120 yards or more last year. So I would actually bump up Lance Moore up the draft board.
He's one of the extremely underrated receivers, and he has been for the past 2 years. But I mean, I do like Lance Moore as well as a wide receiver 3, flex spot possibly. But there's just no denying who's the focal point of this offense. We know it's Jimmy Graham, the tight end. Gosh, he's an absolute beast. We've actually had this discussion before. I think Jimmy Graham, you know, his ADP, which I do not understand, is mid-third round. How do you wait till the mid-third round to take the top tight end on the board? He has no one. There's no depth at this position. Gronk is hurt. It just his stock just keeps rising. Get his Pitta out for the year. What did we talk about before? We have these low-end tight end ones. Who finished in the top 5 last year? Kyle Rudolph, who had 4 weeks of 0 points. Jimmy Graham is the best weapon in one of the best passing offenses. He's led the Saints in targets each of the past 2 years. He's got to be a first-round pick in PPR leagues.
No way. There's no way you take a tight end in the first round.
Look,
here's why you don't take him in the first round. Just, first of all, Gertie, here's why you don't take him in the first round, just for the simple fact that you don't have to. Would you take when's the earliest you would take Jimmy Graham? You're not going to take him in the fourth overall pick. When's the earliest you would take
him? In a redraft league? The earliest, yeah. I would take him in the late first round.
Okay, so let's say a 12-team league. When would you take him? 10th overall, would you take him?
Yeah.
So, but you don't think you'd be there 15th overall? You don't think you could take a running back?
If I have the 10th pick. And
you could take a running back, and he's going to be there at 15.
I just think, I mean, look at the running backs. The running backs in that area, maybe if I don't get the running back 10th overall, all right, say I don't get LeSean McCoy there, then I can get Chris Johnson just, you know, right after. Those guys are what they
LeSean
are.
LeSean McCoy's in a different category than Chris Johnson, though, let's be honest.
Graham, he's – last year, Jimmy Graham was being taken mid-second round, early second round. That's with Gronkowski, and last year, tight end was – Antonio Gates was still an option. Tight end was one of the deepest spots last year. Now, all of a sudden, there's no one else you can plug in there.
I'm not saying you're wrong with any of that, but there's just no way he's a first-round
pick. When you break it down, tight end is a week-to-week game. You want to win your game week-to-week. You have to beat the other team at their position, position by position, every week. It's all about value. If you put Jimmy Graham out there, I don't care who you're running against except for Gronkowski when he comes back, then
you're getting an advantage
every single week.
Well, I could say the same thing for Aaron Rodgers or Drew Brees.
Right, but would you be surprised if Drew Brees finished ahead of Aaron Rodgers by the end of the year?
No, but either
would
one
you
of
be
them.
Surprised if Jimmy Graham didn't finish as a
no,
top
but
tight end?
All right, I think if Gronkowski comes back, and I think Gronkowski, even if he misses a week,
I think we have a Jimmy Graham caller, a fan on the line. Let's see what he has to say about it. Caller, are you there? Hello? Caller, are you there? Yeah, are you playing? I think you have your own music for waiting on hold. You got bored waiting for us.
I think he was just labeled the Jimmy Graham brand, so he hung up.
Very possible. This guy needs to be drafted earlier. He was drafted.
He needs to be drafted earlier than the mid-third round, but he's not a first-round pick.
Look, in PPR leagues, take Jimmy Graham as a first-round pick. Your biggest knock is that you won't have a running back. You want to take a running back instead. But in PPR leagues, there's first-round talent later on in the running back position, in Darren Sproles, Reggie Bush.
Darren Sproles is a second-round pick in the PPR league.
Well, Jimmy Graham, he's been working out all offseason. He's in a contract year. He had injuries last year. I know he had a few drop balls. In a down season, he was still the number one rated tight end. And 2 years ago, when he stayed completely healthy, there was only 4 wide receivers who finished with more points than him. The guy's an absolute beast.
ESPN, though, right now is projecting that you're getting a 3-point advantage.
Per week.
Per week.
In a safe prediction.
based on what he did last year, he's not going to do the same. Sean Payton's back. Look, I can't stress it enough. Take Jimmy Graham as early as you have to. Like I said, you know, late first round, that's where I like him. But the only wide receiver I would take over Jimmy Graham is Calvin Johnson of the Lions.
Oh, now you're just crazy. You wouldn't take Brandon Marshall or Devin?
I would. I would take Jimmy Graham. This wide receiver position is too deep, and we'll talk. We'll just keep getting into it more and more.
Right. All right. Let's move on.
Calvin Johnson, 204 targets last year. Easily the number one wide receiver, most targets in the league by far. There were reports that he played with broken fingers last year. They were later denied. Not sure if I believe it. Who cares? He broke the Madden curse big time. 3-year average, 98 receptions, 1,500, almost 1,600 yards and 11 touchdowns. The biggest thing about Calvin Johnson's monster year is, you know, he got tackled inside the 2-yard line 6 times.
Wait, he broke an NFL record, and that's the biggest thing about his year.
That's what I'm saying. He broke an NFL record, and he was this much closer 6 times to even, you know, taking more of a.
Yeah, but to me, the bottom line about Calvin Johnson is he's not going to put up the yards that he did last year. You know, he's not going to put up 1,900 yards again, but he's also not going to put up 5 touchdowns again.
Right.
So,
I wouldn't be surprised if he put up this yardage. Obviously,
I mean,
they're behind a lot.
I should have prefaced this because I'm talking to a Lions fan. That's not a knock against Calvin Johnson. I just don't think Detroit's going to throw the ball that much this year. I mean, they threw the ball so much last year. They threw it by far the most.
Well, that's also a product of not having a running game, which is still the case now. And not only is that the case, but they signed a receiving running back. But, you know, the biggest problem they have is the running back the wide receiver 2 spot. Right now it's going to be a combination of Ryan Broyles, who I love in PPR league. We don't know if he's already medically cleared. We don't know if he's going to be back before the beginning of the year. But he could be good. Nate Burleson also, he's back from injury. He missed the entire year last year, or most of the year. Whoever's the number 2 receiver in this offense is going to be a nice wide receiver 3, wide receiver 4. And then we also have Brandon Pettigrew, who falls into the same purgatory as the other tight ends we spoke about, which is another reason why we should take Jimmy Graham as high as we want to.
Yeah, I think, in PPR leagues, you can draft Ryan Broyles, and as long as he stays healthy, you could probably start him as a flex with pretty good confidence, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It wouldn't surprise me if Ryan Broyles, Broyles plays all 16 games, you know, if he had 80 catches or so, that would not surprise me one bit, especially where he's going. You know, he could be a little steal.
Right.
I would think that he's going to beat out Burleson for the number 2, as long as he's healthy.
Right. Speaking of number 2s, Brandon Marshall, who's universally ranked in a lot of leagues as the number 2 wide receiver. There's a lot of talk about this. We can go a lot of people at the number 2 spot, but Brandon Marshall, especially in PPR leagues, is probably the most consistent next to Calvin Johnson. He had 192 targets last year, which, like we said, Calvin broke the record, and Brandon Marshall wasn't far behind. You know, he comes into camp at reportedly 235 pounds with 6% body fat, which, for you non-workout bucks, that's pretty damn impressive. He put up a career high in catches, yards, touchdowns. He's back with Jay Cutler. They're in a pass-happy offense. He's going to do the same thing he did last year.
Yeah, Mark Trestman says that he wants to spread the ball around. You know, he wants to use Forte more in the passing game. He wants to use Martellus Bennett more in the passing game. But the bottom line is Jay Cutler's out there throwing the ball, and him and Brandon Marshall might have the best quarterback wide receiver relationship in the league. So, I don't think Brandon Marshall's numbers are going anywhere.
All right. I mean, they don't have much else. Alshon Jeffery, Martellus Bennett, Earl Bennett.
Well, I mean, what is the one rule about the NFL? No one leaves Eli Manning and gets better. So,
nice rule, bro. I could find there's a few more relevant rules than that.
Well, for the Giants.
Another good rule, which applies to the Minnesota Vikings.
Don't drop the wide receiver that starts with Kristen Ponder.
Well, you're also there's a time limit where you're supposed to make your draft pick before you lose it. So. Vikings, they did big free agent splash with Greg Jennings. Greg Jennings, where he's going right now, I can't believe he's falling as far as he is. He's,
you know, going as the 30th wide receiver right now. He's more of a big play guy, and I think the big reason that he's fallen so far is because Christian Ponder, his quarterback, has the lowest QBR or quarterback rating of any quarterback while throwing the ball over 20 yards, which is where Greg Jennings makes his money. So,
right. As far as Jennings go, I mean, I know he's being drafted. I like where he's being drafted as far as getting him. You know, he's being drafted as the 30th wide receiver. I definitely expect him to be a top 30 wide receiver this year, but I wouldn't expect the return of Greg Jennings' numbers that he put up in Green Bay.
Right. I don't like anyone in this offense besides Adrian Peterson, of course, who's the number one. It's just a running offense. The rookie they drafted, Cordarrelle Patterson, big playability. He's good after the catch. He's just too much of a project, and we don't know how much time he's going to see. He's already listed as the third wide receiver behind journeyman Jerome Simpson, who's lining up as, you know, on the first team. There's Kyle Rudolph, the tight end, who was a nice red zone threat. He did have, he was second in touchdowns among tight ends last year. But like I mentioned before, he just had games where he disappeared, and if he doesn't catch a touchdown, then he's not even playable. So he's just extremely inconsistent.
Yeah, I mean, Kyle Rudolph's going to be overdrafted in leagues, and, you know, because of his inconsistency, I would just stay away from him.
You know what? And you know what the moral of this story is? It looks like the tight end position is just more and more inconsistent, which, you know, let's move on. Not important. Let's move on to the Green Bay Packers. It's tough to decide what to make of these guys. They have so many wide receivers. Jordy Nelson coming back from injury. Randall Cobb, who's poised for a breakout year. He's actually being drafted as a top 12 wide receiver. He only started 8 games last year. Should be a full-time starter. He just tremendous upside. Huge big play threat. He's also should return kicks, which, for any leagues that return.
He's kind of like, I know he's listed as a wide receiver, but he's kind of like the Darren Sproles of Green Bay.
Right.
You know, they just try to get the ball to him, have him make plays. So, you know, he has huge potential just to make big-time plays.
He's great in the open field. But who knows? Now they have a running game.
I want to say that.
They're doing the best they can.
Did you see that picture of Eddie Lacy? He doesn't look too good.
He's looking decent. But he looks like he had one too many bar pies at Amore Cucina. So we'll see. I mean, Jordy Nelson, like I said, is coming back. He's a big red zone guy. He did miss 4 games last year before he went on IR. He was on pace for 91 catches, 1,200 yards, and 11 touchdowns. So he wasn't a one-year wonder, you know, if he could stay healthy. And now with Greg Jennings gone, even though he didn't play last year, so, you know, it is what it is. But I really like Jordy Nelson this year, especially if
he's going as a 16th wide receiver, which, I mean, I think is absurd. I think he's, you know, as long as his injuries don't linger, I think he's absolutely a top 10 wide receiver.
I think he's going, you know, where he should be, Marcus Colson, Reggie Wayne. I'd probably rather have Jordy Nelson than these guys, but he's also going around Mike Wallace.
Randall Cobb and Wes Welker are both going ahead of him. I don't know about you. I'd rather have let's put it this way. Out of Nelson, Cobb, and the guy we're going to talk about next, James Jones, I mean, I know how I would rank him. How would you rank him?
Well, I know what you're going to say. So for argument's sake, let's say Randall Cobb, then Jordy Nelson. PPR.
Yeah, but how would you're saying for how would you really rank him? Would you put
in
Nelson
a PPR first? League, Randall Cobb gets the nod.
Okay, see, I feel the opposite. I think Nelson's the bigger threat at wide receiver. I think Nelson is the more consistent one.
The caller. They keep dropping. I don't know what's going on. James Jones, he had a great year, 14 touchdowns, but let's be honest, this guy's not going to do it again. He's going to be the third wide receiver. He's not going to benefit from Jordy Nelson being hurt all year and Greg Jennings. Even Greg Jennings isn't on the team anymore. He had 98 targets, which isn't bad. He's going to be a nice, wide receiver 3, wide receiver 4, flex spot, which just goes to what we said before. You know, the depth at wide receiver is pretty impressive this year.
Here's the thing about James Jones. You know, it's not like he was like some 23-year-old, 24-year-old that just came out of nowhere with 14 touchdowns. He's 29 years old. He's been in the league for a while. You know, he had a good year, but I wouldn't count on it again. you know, he's extremely inconsistent. You know, he only had 85 yards in more than one game, and he had four games with two catches or less. I just think he was, you know, benefited by Nelson and Jennings getting hurt last year. And also, you know, Driver kind of was – he was on team last year, but he was kind of, you know.
If he didn't have Aaron Rodgers as a quarterback, we wouldn't even be talking about
this
right now.
Yeah, I wouldn't draft James Jones with huge confidence this year.
You know, we do have another caller. Caller, I think we need some clarity when it comes to, you know, a few topics. What do you have for us?
Oh, the wide receiver position.
I
really think this year it's. Hello.
Yeah,
I just think it's senseless to bust your nut early on a wide receiver this year, just because there's so many possibilities and prospects.
There's a lot of guys you can plug in, of course. Who happens to? I mean, we're going to handle the email soon, which might cover it. But you know, who's your one of your sleeper wide receivers?
I don't know if I call him a sleeper, but
I just
feel like, you know, Welker could do just as good this year.
It's good that you mentioned him, because we haven't talked about him, considering we're talking about NFC wide receivers this week. What do you think about let's throw it out there. Let's give him a question. What do you think about, from the tight end spot, how do you feel about Jimmy Graham this year?
I was just going to talk about that. I mean, I think it's senseless to put you not early on him, too. You know, just because
it
just doesn't make any sense. He's not a first-rounder. He just isn't.
He's not first. But, you know,
at the very most, he's a middle – I mean, the very worst, I think he's middle to late round, second round.
Is there any argument that he's a number one rated tight end this year?
No.
All right. Okay.
Definitely the best tight end.
Who would be close second? No, that's a tight end. Is there any close second at tight end right now?
No, not any close second.
No.
I actually disagree with our host. I would say Gronkowski is a close second. All
right, you take Gronkowski and just.
I'm just saying. I think if Gronkowski misses 2 or 3 weeks. And
I'm also willing to bet that caller. I want you to keep track of this.
I will bet you that Gronkowski outscores Jimmy Graham on
a point per game basis.
Yeah,
I will absolutely take that.
I will take that.
I will take that. But what happens if Gronkowski gets hurt all year, which is probably going to happen?
Well, if he puts up 28 points in one game, sucks for you. What do you want me to tell you?
This is why.
This is why he's not a close second, exactly. Now, what happens if Gronkowski begins a game and can't finish? You know, that counts.
I'll take him on points per game. I think that, you know, 12 games of Gronkowski plus 4 games of a replacement tight end could be just as good as
Jimmy Graham. I think we have the Jimmy Graham fan back.
Okay.
Caller, are you there?
Yeah.
How are you, dude? Caller, what's your name?
This is Adam B. from Wayne. What's up?
Adam B.?
Two questions. One, tight end
Jimmy
Graham. Number one.
Jimmy Graham in a tight end heavy league?
Tight end heavy league. Points big for tight ends. Do I take Jimmy Graham with the 8th pick in the first round?
No.
In a tight end, in a normal PPR league, yes. And especially in a tight end heavy league, you got to go here.
What is a tight end heavy league?
I'm not sure.
Tight ends get more points than running backs.
Oh, then absolutely. Well, I think we're talking more of like a PPR format, possibly even touchdowns, red zone threats as well. Even in a non-PPR league, I think Jimmy Graham deserves to go early to mid-second round. So I think he's just going to dominate that position. Wayne, New Jersey. That sounds familiar. I think that town was actually mentioned on an episode of Full House, the popular sitcom Full House.
You mean Full
House? If you take the zip code 0470 and you switch it around, you get 0470.
And Mike, I heard that. I did hear that. That's actually rather impressive. Take it to the Full House.
Jimmy Graham, first round. What do you think?
First round, yes. Caller, I'm going to have to go. Adam, I appreciate
I appreciate you calling in. If you were listening to the entire show, you would know how I felt about that.
And you would also know how I felt about that, so.
All right. No, I think we spoke to enough people today. Let's go to the email questions. We're done with the NFC. We're done with the NFC teams. Let's see what we have here. Brad. Brad says, which wide receiver ranked outside the top 30 do you think has the best chance to finish in the top 10? All right, let's take a look at it real quick. I haven't had much time to think about it. Since we're talking about NFC wide receivers, let's just stick to them.
All right, just outside of the top, what did you say, 30?
Top 30, yeah.
I would probably go with, I'll give two. I'll give you Miles Austin and Golden Tate. Miles Austin, I mean, we've all seen him. Miles Austin has performed like a top 10 wide receiver over a long stretch at the time. You know, the only thing is how much will Dez's emergence take away from him if Dez stays healthy, because we all know how he's been injury-plagued. And Miles Austin himself has been injury-plagued. But I think if Miles Austin has a good year and plays all 16 games, you know, he could be in that top 10 to 15 range. And as far as Golden Tate goes, he has a very good chance of being a number one receiver in a very good offense with a very good quarterback. That's basically what it comes down to. I don't know if he'll get the touchdowns to finish in the top 10, but, you know, he's very durable. He never gets hurt. You know, he's a decent PPR threat. He's a nice combination of PPR threat with the big playability threat. So, you know, I think that both of those guys could vastly outplay their draft position.
Right. I like that call. If Miles Austin can stay healthy, he is.
Ain't nobody got.
Look. Let me move on to my pick. I'm gonna go a little bit deeper than that when it comes to in the rankings. I like guys such as, well, first of all, Ryan Broyles from Detroit. If he does come back and he can play by week one, I just like the offense that he's in, especially in PPR leagues. He's being drafted right now as the 64th ranked wide receiver, which, you know, he can get him in the 15th, 16th round, which is going to be one of your last draft picks. I wouldn't be surprised if he finished, maybe not top 10, but, you know, top 20, top 15. But you never know. There's also guys like Alshon Jeffrey from Chicago, who's also, I'm just going to go for guys who are in throwing offenses, who, you know, young guys especially, who their upside and potential is rather unlimited. And then there's always, don't forget about guys like Brandon Lloyd, who's a free agent, but he's gonna latch on somewhere. And, you know, we're only, what, 2-3 years removed from him being the number one scoring wide receiver in fantasy.
I have one for you. How about Reuben Randall?
Yeah, if we touched on it before.
Okay,
you
picked your line, so. You know, Nick gets hurt, like I said, he's been, from what I've been reading, he's been tearing up the Giants' first-team defense. So, you know, it's not like he's doing against second and third stringers. You know, the Giants had a first-round grade coming out of college for him. So, you know, I think, like I said, I think he has a great chance to outplay his draft position, too.
Yeah, all right. I think we gave too many answers, actually, which also, you know, leads us to be wrong too many times. But let's move on to the next one. Here we have Nick. Nick says, who are the riskiest wide receivers who you would avoid towards the beginning of the draft? All right. So it's pretty much the opposite of what we just spoke about. You know what? Just looking it over, like I said, let's stick with NFC wide receivers again. Everyone seems pretty consistent. It's tough. The only guy I would go with is, or the biggest guy I would go with is Randall Cobb from Green Bay, only because he hasn't finished as a top 10 wide receiver yet. And although he's being drafted as one, if you're taking someone with that high of a draft pick, you really just don't want to miss on it. Jordy Nelson's coming back. James Jones is in the mix now. You know, Jermichael Finley is always capable of a breakout year. I do like Randall Cobb. Don't get me wrong. I just don't like him as high as he's going, above the likes of Wes Welker, you know, even his own teammate, Jordy Nelson, you know, guys like that. So,
yeah, I mean, I would go with, like I said, I'm in between two. I would say Dez, but he just has so much upside. I really think he's going to have a good year. But, you know, there's so many questions about his durability and maturity. And visit Jackson only because, you know, out of all the top wide receivers, NFC or AFC, Vincent Jackson is the guy that, you know, doesn't have the elite PPR potential. You know, he makes his money, but he gets his points on the big plays and touchdowns. So, you know, if he just has a down year as far as big plays coming his way, he could fall out of the top 20 wide, you know, 15, 20 wide receivers.
I mean, I can see that. I think he's poised for a big year just because of what we spoke about before. Where,
yeah, so do I. Know. Like I said, if I had to pick one, though, that would be everybody else in the NFC is so consistent.
Who would you rather have, Vincent Jackson or Randall Cobb?
Randall Cobb.
I'm going to bet on that one, too.
Who puts up more points?
Who puts up more points? That's fine with me. I don't think one of these guys missed games because of injury.
Yeah, but I can also get...
seemed pretty hesitant. Let's make a move, T.
No,
we're running out of time.
I'll take it.
All right, yeah, you sound awfully confident in that.
Well, I mean, what's the score in PPR? Are we doing PPR?
We haven't discussed this, so...
I mean, I'm not taking Randall Cobb in a standard league.
No, even in PPR last year, Vincent Jackson finished ahead. You know, there's different PPR leagues. There's 0.5 per catch. There's one per catch.
I'm in a league with 1.1 per catch, so...
Who the hell made that?
I don't know, some moron, but...
Yeah, quit the league.
Yeah.
Quit the league. I'm in that league, too, just for the record. Move on to the our last question here. Here we have no name, blah, blah, blah. All right, thanks for not leaving a name. I guess you can't be blamed for a terrible question, which it actually isn't. If you don't end up with one of the top tight ends, Jimmy Graham, which guy is your favorite to target late in the draft?
I think we should break the rules, and I think we can include AFC here because there's just not that many tight ends.
Well, you know what? You're right. There isn't that many tight ends.
My pick is going to be from the NFC anyway, but, I mean, you want to take this one first? Or?
Let me take a quick look. I hate to – I mean, I mentioned it before. There's just so many guys you could take in this area, and you're just – all you're doing is splitting hairs when it comes to it's almost – I can't reiterate it enough. If you don't get Jimmy Graham and you don't get Rob Gronkowski, do not take a tight end until the third to last round. And I only say third to last round because defense is second to last round and kickers last round, no matter what.
What do you think about
you take a tight end in the third to last round, then all these other guys are going to be available, and we're just kind of going to go by a week to week basis.
Jason Witten is going the sixth round, and he had, you know, the most catches for a tight end ever last year. You know, if he falls to the 7th or 8th, I'm taking Jason Witten. I'm sorry.
That's fair. I mean, go ahead. I wouldn't blame you for that, but after all the receivers we just spoke about.
I understand. Anyway, back to the question. The two guys that, you know, if I miss out on Jimmy Graham, which I will in any league I am in with you, two guys that I'm looking at are Greg Olsen and Jared Cook. You know, we already went over both these guys, but, you know, they're lining up Jared Cook in the slot. He should see plenty of targets. He has all the athletic potential in the world. You know, he hasn't lived up to that yet, but, you know, I like the way things are looking for Jared Cook this year. And, you know, Greg Olsen, there's only a handful of tight ends in the league that you can say that they're the legit number two weapon in their offense, and Greg is one of them. Mm-hmm. He sees over 20% of the targets in that offense. He's just building a better chemistry with Cam, and Cam's only going to get better as it goes. So those are two guys I'm looking at.
I 100% don't disagree with you at all. And the thing that worries me is I have two completely different guys, which is JerMichael Finley and Brandon Pettigrew, both who, you know, Pettigrew has been a low-end tight end one for the past few years. He's up there in targets every year. He came into camp in better shape. He dropped a lot of balls. He hasn't been great, but his potential is there. He's a former first-round pick, and we all know what Michael Finley's capable of, too, especially with his athletic ability. It's just the thing, do you want to have to worry about this every single week is who you're going to play at tight end or who's better, the number 13 tight end Finley or the number 15 tight end Brandon Pettigrew?
No, but here's the thing. I think you could plug either one of those guys into their lineup and not have to worry about it. Like, I know. Look, I'm not saying that Jimmy Graham. He's by far. There's the biggest disparity between Jimmy Graham at one and who I have Jason Witten at two. But my thing is, if you take a tight end in the first round, you're losing a round draftable that where you should be taking a wide receiver or running back, and it's just going to make one of those positions that much weaker. And running back is not that deep as it is.
All right. I mean, I completely understand. Tight end.
And I'm sorry to cut you off, but to make it your point, you're even making my point more. I can say you take Jimmy Graham in the first round. I can wait to the 12th or 13th round to take a tight end, and I'm waiting 11 rounds, and you're gaining a 3 point a week.
No.
Percentage.
3 point a week based on
projection.
No. 3 point a week on the second rated tight end. Never mind the 13th rated
tight
end.
That's not what the information I had, but sorry.
I mean,
no.
Jimmy, the thing I'm saying, don't get me wrong, I reiterate this over and over, if you can't get Jimmy Graham, then it's worth waiting to the end, because the difference between, my point is, the difference between Jared Cook and Jason Witten is pretty much the same difference between Jason Witten and Jimmy Graham.
I agree. Like I said, we're spending more time on this question than I'd like, but fantasy football is all about value. If Rob Gronkowski falls to the sixth round, I'm going to take him. If Jason Witten's there in the eighth, I will take him. But, you know, like you said, it's all about value. And, you know, if Jason Witten gets drafted and all these guys, I'm fine waiting until the 13th round to take a starting tight end. I really am.
He's only starting because he's on your team left with no one else to start.
We're obviously not going to agree on this topic, so.
All right, let's, hopefully we get more clarity next week when we discuss AFC wide receivers and AFC tight ends. It's pretty much the last position we have to touch up on. As we said, the wide receiver position is extremely deep. We have a ton more guys to talk about next week. Thanks for listening in. Inbox us on Facebook. We love to hear from you. Thanks for everyone who called in. And we'll see you next week. Yo, baby, take it